Welcome to DTNB College. Today we're building something that sits right in that sweet spot between bass design and arrangement. We're making a selector dub-style Reese patch in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're arranging it like a real DTNB ingredient, not just a loop that goes around forever. The goal here is a bass sound that feels sub-heavy, smoky, moving, and club-ready. Something with that dub-wise attitude, but still controlled enough to live inside a roller, a dark-step drop, or a heavyweight minimal section without wrecking the mix. Why this works in DTNB is pretty simple. A great selector-style dub Reese gives you identity without overcrowding the drop. The bass has character, but it doesn't need to shout all the time. It can breathe in phrases, answer the drums, and create tension without turning the whole track into a wall of low-mid noise. That's the balance we want, so let's build it properly. Start with a clean MIDI track and split the sound into two jobs inside an instrument rack. One chain is your sub. The other chain is your moving character layer. Keep that separation clean from the start. It makes everything easier later. For the sub, use operator with a sine wave or wave editable if that's quicker for you. Keep it simple. Keep it mono. No drift. No fancy movement. No width games. This is the foundation. It should feel boring in the best possible way. For the character layer, use wave editable or analog with two detuned saw-style oscillators. You want movement, but not trance-style width. Keep the detune modest, enough to feel alive, not enough to turn into mush. What to listen for here? Does the low note still feel anchored when the upper layer starts moving? And does the top layer sound like tension, or does it already sound like a big fluffy pad? If it's getting pad-like, the detune is probably too wide. Next, shape that movement with a low-pass filter and a slow envelope. This is where the selector dub feel starts coming alive. You're not making a bass that screams constantly. You're making one that opens up, speaks, and then settles back down. A good starting point is somewhere around 150 to 600 Hz for the cutoff, depending on how dark you want it. Add moderate resonance. Not so much that it whistles, but enough to give it that talking edge. Keep the envelope attack fast, and the decay somewhere in the 200 to 700 millisecond range, depending on how much bloom you want. If you want it darker and murkier, keep the cutoff lower and the resonance a bit more pronounced. If you want it sharper and more aggressive, open the filter slightly more and shorten the decay. What to listen for now? Does the filter movement actually feel like it's speaking? If the sound is static, the envelope depth is too shallow. If it feels like a wobbling synth pad, the movement is too slow and too broad. Before you touch delay or wide effects, tighten the low end on the sub chain. Use EQ 8 and gently roll off anything above the real sub zone. Keep it clean. If there's rumble or extra junk below the note, clean that too. The sub should stay visually and sonically boring. That's a win. On the character chain, high pass around 80 to 150 Hz so the stereo movement doesn't interfere with the low-end foundation. If it sounds boxy, dip a little around 200 to 400 Hz. If the resonance is harsh, tame the upper mids carefully. This is a big one in DTNB. The kick and sub relationship is non-negotiable. If the character layer starts carrying too much low-end, the drop might sound huge in headphones, but fall apart in the room. Club systems expose that instantly, so keep the bottom disciplined. Now bring in some saturation on the character layer. Saturator is perfect here. A little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, is usually enough to create upper harmonics that help the bass read on smaller speakers and through dense drums. Soft clip can help if you want a safer, denser edge. The key is to add grit, not fuzz. If it's too clean, the Reese disappears once the drums arrive. If it's too distorted, you lose the selector vibe and just get noise. So keep it musical. You can also add a touch of drum boss on the character chain if you need a little more attitude, but keep it subtle. This is one of those moments where less is usually more. If the patch already has weight, don't flatten it before you even arrange it. Now for the dub space. Create a return track with echo or delay and use it like a phrase tool. This is where the dub identity really shows up. Keep the delay darker than the dry bass. Filter out the low end, keep feedback moderate, and don't let the wet signal take over the whole drop. A nice starting move is 1/8, 1/8T, or 1/4 depending on how busy the groove is. Feedback somewhere around 20 to 45% is often enough. Then automate the send so the delay blooms at the end of a phrase or on the last note of a bar. That's the classic answer and response feeling that makes dub so effective. And here's a useful decision point. You can keep the delay as a send for flexibility, or you can print it to Audino if you want a committed tail you can chop, reverse, or turn into a fill. Send-based delay is more performable. Printed delay is more arranged. Both are valid. Pick the one that matches where the track is going. Now write the MIDI like an actual DNB bassline, not a synth exercise. Start with a two-bar loop. Don't fill every gap. Let the bass answer the kick and snare instead of fighting them. Short notes work well for punctuation. Longer notes work well for pressure and release. Leave at least one clear pocket so the snare can still feel decisive. What to listen for here? Is the bass making the groove feel heavier, or just busier? If the snare loses authority, the note lengths are probably too long, or the bass is entering too early. Move it slightly later or shorten the notes. That tiny adjustment can completely change the pocket. Now automate the filter and the delay send across a 4-bar or 8-bar phrase. This is what turns the patch into a real arrangement element. A solid approach is to keep bars 1 and 2 darker and more restrained, open things up a bit in bar 3, and give bar 4 a little more resonance or delay tail for lift. Then maybe cut or mute briefly at the end to reset the phrase. On the next pass, change just one or two things. Open the filter a bit more. Shorten the delay feedback. Shift one note slightly. Keep it evolving, but don't overdo it. This is where the bass starts feeling like it's performing, not looping, performing. And that's a huge difference in DNB. A selector dub reese should feel like it's speaking in short statements, then stepping back so the drums can breathe. If you automate everything all the time, the whole thing loses focus. Pick one or two main controls per phrase, usually cutoff and delay send, and let those do the heavy lifting. At this point, if the part feels good, consider bouncing the character layer or the delay tail to audio. That can speed up the arrangement process massively. Once you commit the tail, you can reverse it, slice it, layer it under fills, or use it as a transition hit. A little printed dub tail can do a lot of work. And here's a useful mindset. Version early. Keep one dry and mixable version, one FX heavy version, and one printed version if you can. That gives you options later without constantly trying to rescue the same loop. Now put the bass into a full drum context. Not solo. In context. Kick, snare, hats, maybe a break layer if that's part of the track. This is where the truth comes out. If the bass crowds the snare body, trim a bit around 180 to 250 Hz. If it's masking the kick, recheck the note timing and clean up any low-mid smear. If the hats suddenly feel dull, your bass may be too wide or too bright in the wrong place. Always check mono too. The sub should stay solid. The character layer can be wider, but only above the low end zone. What to listen for now? Does the bass still feel intentional in mono? And does the snare keep its punch when the bass comes in? If the answer is no, the issue is usually width, note length, or overlap, not just needing more sound design. For the second half of the drop, make one controlled change, just one or two. Maybe open the filter slightly more. Maybe dry the delay out a bit for a tighter feel. Maybe add a tiny octave poke on the last note of the phrase. Maybe drop the bass for half a bar before the return. That kind of variation gives the track life without destroying the identity of the riff. In darker DNB, you don't always want more. Sometimes you want a little less, so the return hits harder. A really strong move is to let the selector dub reese answer a drum fill. Fill hits, bass drops out. Delay tail answers, then the drop comes back with more impact. That's club function. DJs can mix it. Dancers can feel it. The track starts to breathe like a record, not just a looped sketch. A few quick reminders before you wrap it up. Keep the sub almost boring. Use resonance like a spotlight, not a weapon. Keep the delay darker than you think you need. And when in doubt, remove one thing instead of adding another. In this kind of bass design, subtraction often makes the sound heavier. Also, check it at different listening levels. Very quiet, normal, loud. If the movement and note shape still read quietly, that's a great sign. If it only works loud, it may be depending too much on width or FX. So to recap, the winning formula here is separation, control, and phrasing. Build the sub and character as separate chains. Keep the sub clean and mono. Let the upper layer carry the movement and attitude. Use filter automation and delay tails to make the bass answer the drums. Then arrange it in phrases so it feels like a real part of the record, not just a loop. Now take the exercise and run it. Build that 2-bar selector dub reese, test it against drums, automate the cutoff and delay send, and try the 4-bar phrase version. If you've got time, bounce the best delay tail and use it as a transition or fill. That's where the sound really starts to feel finished. You've got this. Make it dark, make it controlled, and make it speak.